Today, we're diving into a topic that can be a real game changer for anyone struggling with gut health, FODMAPs.
Welcome to Root Cause Holistic Health. I'm Dr. John Harmon, physician, brain health expert, and your host on this no-fluff journey into whole body healing.
And I'm Tracy Green, wellness coach, mom, and co-host. This is the space where we get real about what actually heals, not just what's trending.
If you're done with surface level advice and ready to understand your body, your mind, and your health from the inside out, this podcast is for you.
We're here for the raw conversations most people avoid. We don't sugarcoat, we don't shame. We offer tools, truths, and transformation.
I'm really excited for this topic because so many people suffer from bloating, stomach pain, maybe diarrhea, maybe constipation, and they don't even know what's causing it.
So Dr. Harmon, let's start really simple. What in the world are FODMAPs?
Well, it's not a map. It stands for the types of foods or substances that are in foods that cause stomach distress. The F stands for fermentable, and that means acted on by bacteria in the gut, making things that aren't that food anymore. And then the O stands for oligosaccharides. And what those are chains of sugars together. And disaccharides, monosaccharides, and the P stands for polyols. So we'll dive in a little bit to that, but that's what it stands for.
So basically they're carbs and they're in everyday foods like onions, garlic, milk, and this is what surprised me. Apples, wheat, beans, even sugar-free gum.
Oh, and it I know even that gets you have, worse.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's crazy. I had never heard, I didn't even know what the word FODMAP was until we started doing research for the podcast a couple months ago. And this is just an incredible list. So, okay. So let's talk about this. Our bodies can't break these down properly. So then they ferment in our gut. And then what? What happens?
Well, when you ferment something, it turns it into something else. And it can turn it into gas. It can ferment into carbon dioxide gas. If it's the gas, you get bloating. But if it's something else, now you really start to feel terrible. And it's a real maze trying to figure this out. What is it? I'm eating things that are supposed to be good for me. Why don't I feel well? And that's a common theme that I've heard from patients over the years. And then when I would point out this to them, and they go, oh my gosh, that's my favorite food. Garlic and onions, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage. Wow. Are you kidding me? I can't eat those anymore.
So things that we think are healthy. I mean, I have my daughter eat broccoli and carrots, you know, cabbage all the time. This is crazy. She's going to be excited to hear this episode.
There's going to be some blaming going on, I think. It's your fault.
I think this is super important. And I love that we're talking about this. And I know that when we were researching this a couple months ago, you had talked about a personal experience on how you came to find out about FODMAPs and this, you know, your personal story.
Yes. And it started actually when I was very young, because I had a lot of sinus problems because the passageways in the through my sinuses were very narrow. And the body produces 2 quarts of mucus that washes things out. You know, we're breathing, we get dust, we get, you know, viruses, bacteria. Your body makes this mucus and it just goes down the back of your throat. You don't even know it. And it's 2 quarts. Well, if you have narrowed passages in your sinuses, it can't drain. And so anything, bacteria, other things that come in, just kind of sit there and it forms a nice, warm, happy, moist environment for bacteria to grow. So I had multiple sinus infections. And unfortunately, wow, the answer back then, and it was, looking back, it was astounding how readily they prescribed antibiotics. And they would just come and tap on my sinus, you know, kind of between the eye and the upper teeth, and they'd tap there. Is that tender? Yeah. Oh, you have a sinus infection. Here's a prescription. So round after round after round, I can't even tell you. I would not be able to count how many times I was on antibiotics. Ironically, that's the only time I felt well. I was taking antibiotics because of the sinus problems. You know how that is if you have a sinus infection. Yeah. It's difficult just talking to people. And so that caused a lot of gut issues. And back then, we didn't have a lot of answers. There were several different times I was in the emergency room because my abdomen, my gut hurt so much. They would take x-rays and they did all kinds of things. Well, it looks like you got an impacted bowel. Oh, great. Okay. Do some enemas.
Right.
That was pretty much it. So as I became a practitioner and I had the capability of ordering my own tests, I have a long history of testing myself for food sensitivities, for other things, to find out what my issues were. And that's what led me down this road. And it was, I think, the final straw that pushed me in deeper was, as a chiropractor, we're in close contact with one another, with patients, you know, you're kind of right when they're on the table, you're breathing and talking. And so
really
I wanted to have fresh breath.
Yeah.
So I was chewing gum for a while and I thought, you know, it's not good for my teeth. I'm just going to get a non-sugar mint. That's what I'm going to do. We got to get a minty, fresh breath mouth with a non-sugar mint. And I would put this mint in my mouth and I would feel almost drunk. But not drunk, but just like foggy brain. And they were xylitol mints. And you're going to find out that xylitol, anything with an OL on the end, those are the polyols. Those are things that get fermented as well. So maybe that will help someone who's eating, quote, sugar-free, flavored by sorbitol, xylitol, and the other alls. Those are high FODMAP. So the road, the path is really murky. Trying to muddle through this maze of what can I eat? I've been told by my mom forever that these are healthy foods. Why do I feel so horrible? Well, mom told you to eat broccoli, and garlic is good because it's antibacterial, antiviral. And onions are good too, because they have the allicin and allein in them that's antiviral, antibacterial. Unfortunately, for some people, those are two of the worst foods you can eat.
Unbelievable.
FODMAP diet.
You know, every time we got sick as a kid, my grandma, that's what we would eat. She'd bring us over fresh broth and it had garlic and onions in it. Onions on your feet. And then there was onions and garlic in. I mean, we ate a ton of garlic. So grandma said it would kill everything.
And if you have a normal gut, they are.
Right.
They are very healthy. You know, they're very nutritious, fiber, lots of stuff. Lots of sulfur so that your body can make glutathione. A lot of good things in there. Except if you have gut issues, which, and it's the dysregulation in your microbiome, you can't do that. And just, there are probably a lot of people listening who can relate to this. I don't know what to eat.
Yep.
And then they narrow it down. Okay, I found one thing, two things that I can eat. But when I venture out from that, it's so frustrating to walk through that maze, because I had a food sensitivity test done and I don't have a food sensitivity to that food. Why can't I eat it? Well, it's likely because they fall into the FODMAP foods and it's different. It's not an allergic or sensitive response to that food is getting fermented, and then you're faced to deal with the excess gas and other things that it gets fermented into.
You're talking about before, it's knowing back of labels, like we've talked about before, how important reading the back of labels are, not just for bioengineered ingredients and forever chemicals, but knowing the polyols. You know, if there's one of those alls in something that's your trigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of those ingredients are in something as simple as peanut butter. So, I mean, it's so important to look at the ingredients on everything.
It is.
Even gum.
a lot of gum, mints, powdered drinks, because everybody's looking for sugar. They don't even recognize sorbitol as anything other than, it makes it taste sweet.
Well, and actually now, with all my research with bioengineered ingredients, if you look at the back of gum, we've talked about one episode where the back of Twizzlers has bioengineered ingredients. Gum. I have found one pack of gum that's natural that does not contain bioengineered ingredients, but that's something that you may not even think of to look at the back of the ingredients of something as simple as gum. But to our listeners, I want them to know that your root cause of your bloating could be the gum you're chewing.
Right. And oh, that's... It's tough to hear because we get used to certain things and we get kind of comfortable in our routine. And then people like me come along and say, not so fast. There are answers. It's a little bit difficult. And what I had is I had a list of the high FODMAP and low FODMAP foods on my phone, because when I'm shopping, I don't know about that. Baby bok choy. Let me look that up. Is that high FODMAP, low FODMAP? What about, you know, avocados? What about this? What about that? What about leek? You know, and you can look it up. And we're going to have a list that you can download so that you can just have it on your phone to look at it. So there are several different ways of doing this. You can cut out all high FODMAP foods, and there are a lot of them, and, you know, don't eat any of them for a week or two, and then start reintroducing one at a time and see how you react. That is a really cumbersome thing. Mm-hmm. It's long. It'd take you a long time to go through those foods, but that's what I did. And then after I was over that, there's a company that makes an enzyme. It's a powder, and you actually sprinkle it on your food, the foods that are high FODMAP. It immediately starts to digest them before you put it in your mouth.
And that's amazing.
Then you put it in your mouth and you chew it up really well, because that mixes the enzyme all through that food. If that works, then you don't have to go through the dietary elimination process where you're eliminating all high FODMAP foods to see if you can determine which ones are flaring you up the most. It's a wonderful thing. And we have it arranged where all of our listeners can actually get a sample of that. So we'll have a link so that you can click on it and get a sample and try it out. See if that works for you.
I love that. One key takeaway too, everyone's tolerance is different. What bothers one person might be perfectly fine for another, which is so true for everyone. You know, you can chew gum, or, you know, you might be able to be fine with gum, which might bother me, or vice versa.
And it also has to do with each person's microbiome. Because normally, you know, people who don't have problems with high FODMAPs, their gut microbiome is different. And people who fight that microbiome, that's where it all starts. And so you're right. One food might not bother you, and you can eat it in, you know, moderate amounts. And others with small amounts may send you to the bathroom, or send you to just a bloated stomach. If it's up into the small intestine, that would be more like SIBO. But lots of fermentation can lead to a lot of gas and very uncomfortable.
If this is you, you can try eliminating certain foods from your diet and seeing which one is your trigger, or you could order this enzyme that Dr. Harmon was talking about earlier. The link will be in the show notes and you can get your free sample. We'll also link the high and low FODMAP list in the show notes as well.
Thanks for tuning in to Root Cause Holistic Health. We're here to help you uncover what's really going on and empower you to take the next step in your healing journey.
Whether you're a mom, a dad, or just someone ready to stop settling for Band-Aid fixes, we hope today's episode gave you something to think about.
If you found this episode valuable, do us a favor. Share it with someone you love and leave a review so we can reach more families like yours.
Make sure to hit follow so you don't miss next week's episode. We've got more honest conversations, practical tips, and root cause wisdom coming your way.
Until next time, stay grounded, stay curious, and most of all, stay connected to what truly matters.
We'll see you next time on Root Cause Holistic Health.